Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Andy Troy Show, where you can sample all the great things New York has to offer. For the next 60 minutes, I'll not only clue you into some great things to do around town, but we'll also chat with some interesting local personalities. Tonight's show is about competitive eating, and we'll feature Tim Eater X Janice, Eric Badlands Booker, Crazy Legs Conti, and Yasser Salem. But first, our shameless plugs. For those of you who haven't read my anti-aging book, Living Young, 32 Habits of Ageless People, there's no time like the present. It's always the right time to stay young and get healthy. Also, if you're going to live a long time, you might as well enjoy it. So check out my DVD, The Bedroom Workout for Men, on how to improve men's sexual performance through exercise. Both are available on Amazon.com and my website, AndyTroy.com. Remember that if you bring my book to any of my events, I will be happy to autograph it for you. Speaking of which, our next event will be this Friday night, our St. Patrick's Day party at Highland Park, 6 to 11 p.m., 206 East 34th Street, just off 3rd Avenue. Happy hour goes from 6 to 8 p.m. and admission is free. There'll be lots of surprises. It'll be a great night, so come join us. The details for this and all my monthly events are on my website, tastingnyc.com. The Andy Troy Show has a fan page on Facebook that contains links to previous shows as well as pictures of all our past guests. Check it out by punching the Andy Troy Show into your Facebook browser. If you haven't heard my Animal Rescue song, Hoping for Another Morning, you can both hear the song and see the video by going to YouTube and punching Hoping for Another Morning into the browser. My good friend and producer, John Anello, a.k.a. Johnny Mandolin, has a CD called La Voce Mia. Order your copy today at johnnymandolin.com or call E. Rossi at 212-226-9254 and they'll hook you up. Finally, sponsors, we want them. If you would like to promote your goods and or services to our vast listening audience, contact the station or me directly at andyftroy@aol.com. Okay, well, we would like to introduce our cast of characters. We have with us an old friend of the show, the legendary Crazy Legs Conti.
Thank you, Andy. I'm a veteran not only of Major League Eating, but of your show. I think this is my third appearance.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to the next hour with great aplomb.
Three-peat.
Aplomb. Now, that is an interesting twist of a phrase there. And it's great to have you guys on with someone who runs TastingNYC.com as well, although that's not necessarily all eating. Do you guys do any competitive drinking?
We are actual casual drinkers. After you've eaten an enormous amount of food in a short time, it's important to have an after party. And wherever I am on the Major League Eating Circuit in 2012, or the gentlemen who are here tonight, we insist on family, friends, and fans coming out. Just approach a competitive eater at the table, ask them where the after party is, and it's a great time. If you want to see Joey Chestnut drool, you're not going to see it at the table, but you might see it at the after party.
I've had moose drool, by the way. Have you ever had that?
I've had moose droppings, which is an ice cream flavor in Portland, Maine. But moose drool I would drink with perhaps Fernet Branca to aid in the digestive quality.
Well, there is actually a beer called moose drool that I sampled in Montana last summer. And it makes the Montana nightlife that much more pleasant, actually. Which was better than I expected, by the way, for you folks in Montana. I was impressed with Missoula nightlife. Okay, we see Crazy Legs is greeting his fans, I think. Are you a fan of Crazy Legs, sir?
No, I'm a fan of his, but we're in Little Italy at Umberto, so you can't walk anywhere without seeing somebody who's integral to the tapestry of New York, not dissimilar from Umberto's here on Mulberry Street or the one on Arthur Avenue. The locations move, but they take the recipes with them. But Andy, the thing I like is Tim Eater X Janice is here, Yasser Salem is here, and I tend to talk way too much, so I would let these guys chat.
Okay, because you are, I already know you somewhat. We've spent quality time together. But Tim, I think, is like a big name in the industry, isn't he? Are you like number three or something?
I am number three, yeah.
You are number three. Does that? I know Avis tried harder. How hard do you have to try?
Well, you know, I do my best always.
Yeah, stay up by the mic. Eat the mic, Tim.
I'm trying to. It doesn't taste very good. How hard do I have to try?
You need more iron in your diet,
yeah?
Actually.
Oh, okay.
No, you're doing fine.
Okay.
So, yes. So, number three, what was involved in getting to number three? Like, what's involved in the rating system here?
Well, you know, I've been doing this for like 7.5, I think 8 years, actually. And, you know, for me, it's just been incremental progress the whole way. I started off when I was eating like 14 or 15 hot dogs in 12 minutes at Nathan's.
And that was just for laughs.
No, well, yeah, I mean, I was doing it just to sort of have a good time and see what I could do. But then I became, you know, about 5 years later, the third person in the world to have ever eaten 50 hot dogs in a contest. So
how many was this? 50?
50, yeah. So it was just incremental, though. It was pushing myself, and it was always trying to think a little bit bigger. I mean, I never tried to think a lot bigger because I'm a realist and I believe in incremental progress, but it was always just, you know, thinking a little bit bigger and each time trying and then sometimes being hard on myself if I failed, but never giving up too. I think, you know, a lot of life is just it's showing up, it's plugging away, and you know, you trust that effort's going to pay off eventually.
Okay, now, I understand Yasser is fairly new to the field of competitive eating.
That's right.
Okay, how did you get into this? What made you decide?
Well, it's funny. I'm sitting at the table with Eater X and Crazy Legs Conti, and in a minute, Badlands will be here.
Speaking of getting a little bigger, Badlands Booker has just entered, but he's going to take a moment to scout the kitchen before he sits down on the mic. Go ahead, Yasser.
So, I mean, 3 years ago, I was watching Nathan's, and I was watching Crazy Legs and Eater X here on stage, and a couple of the other big eaters. And I really wanted to be up there. I just thought it was a really unique, quirky thing to do. And I'm into that kind of stuff. So, you know, I tried, I practiced, and I can tell you it's really hard to get into the numbers that these guys do.
What have you reached so far?
On my first try, I did 20.5 hot dogs, which is, you know, pretty good.
That's an amazing, actually. It's
amazing
rookie effort.
He's being modest. I've been fortunate to do this for 11 years. We don't count on the calendar year. We count on the Nathan's year. July 4th starts that's our New Year's Eve and our calendar start. The gentleman Badlands Booker is going to sit down has been doing this for 13 with a two-year hiatus, so he's got the most seniority and actually the most girth on the circuit.
Here
but
he comes, I think.
Yasser, the thing I want to say about Yasser that he won't say about himself is very rarely do eaters come along, rookies, who wade themselves into the pool and then leave for a while and then cannonball back in with such a splash. And it's not up to me, but the rookie of the year is always announced on July 4th. If it was up to me, I would see Yasser as the number one contender, and I would give him the award this year. But a lot it will be determined in the next 3 or 4 months.
Well, weighing in with his opinion on all of this is now always late for dinner, apparently, is Badlands. Badlands, get closer to the microphone.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Well, you certainly have, made an impression here. So what is your most hot dogs? We seem to be talking about the Nathan's thing. We're going to get into other stuff as well. But.
Oh, okay. Well, the most hot dogs I've ever eaten competition was 40 in 10 minutes.
40? Well, that's... What is the record, by the way?
I believe it's 68.
Yeah, Crazy Legs is our status.
Sure. Joey Jaws Chestnut has the record with 68 Nathan's Hot Dogs and Buns in 10 minutes. We are fortunate to have Eater X Janice, who mentioned earlier that he is one of the few humans on the planet to have eaten over 50. His personal best is 55.
The contest is 53.
53, yeah. Sorry. But we count qualifiers as well. And we could talk about hot dogs all day. I don't know if you... MLEers next to me are like myself, where you carry around with you last year's 2011 schedule of events, because here we are in March and they've yet to announce the Nathan's qualifying circuit. One thing a lot of people don't know, even avid fans of the Andy Troy show, is that each year you have to qualify, and to do so you have to win one of the general 14 U.S. qualifiers. They have several overseas, which U.S. eaters are generally not allowed to go to. It's harder year after year. This is a contest that's been going for 97 years.
There's been 97 years of this hot
dog
contest?
There were 2 years that there was no contest. One,
the Depression, there was no food.
Believe me, a free Nathan's hot dog during the Depression possibly couldn't taste any better. And let's be honest, most competitive eaters come from big families, or they come from people like myself who love food and can never get enough of it. So... Nathan's we can chat about. I'm looking forward to talking about the 60 to 70 events Major League Eating puts on and will put on in 2012 and to find out where people are going. But I do have, and am waiting via social networking, Facebook on the Major League Eating page or Eat Fast at Twitter when they will announce the Nathan's qualifying circuit, because for all of us at the table, we love every event we go to, but the one that is the biggest, maybe not the greatest monetary gain, but the one you want to be at is July 4th at 12:40 p.m.
You mentioned monetary gain. What kind of money can you make? We've got Eater X here, who is, like, you know, in the bracket here to make some big money.
The simple answer is not enough.
Not enough.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's the top guy in the
world. You get dinner for free, don't you?
You do. You get lunch, too, you know, but it depends when the contest is. But the top eater in the world can make a couple $100,000, but you drop down a spot, you drop down two spots, and guys are struggling to make enough to live off of. I mean, you can certainly – it's a weekend job anyway, so it's not like you have to quit your day job. And the money is nice. It's extra money. I'm sure everybody's happy with it, but it's not enough to quit your day job for. It's you know, it's good money for what it is, but it's we're not full time eaters.
Now, number three, do you hold any records at this point? Because that's pretty highly rated. What have you done?
I have records, I guess, in tamales, pork rinds, ramen noodles, sushi, burritos, cupcakes. And tiramisu.
Give us the one you're the proudest of. What is your most impressive record?
I mean, I'm still most proud of the time I ate 50 hot dogs for the first time, because that to me was the real milestone in my career. But as far as records go, I think the one that was most satisfying was the burrito record. I went to overtime defending it the next year, and I just felt like I was always able to dig very deep, you know, and really push myself further than the other guys were.
Does that come with margaritas, by the way?
No, it doesn't, man.
Unfortunately.
And you don't want them afterwards. I mean, you feel rotten.
Oddly enough, the burrito contest was in South Portland, Maine,
yeah.
Which is not necessarily a place that you would say has great burritos, but they did, and they were good competitive burritos. But very, it was a, help me out, Eater X. It was 14-ounce burritos? I mean, these things were the size of a baby's arm.
I think that might have been 18
ounces. 18 ounce. They were 18?
And I think they had about 17 ounces of cumin in them, because they were not very good.
Now, Yasser, where are you rated currently?
I'm number 34.
So you've moved up the ladder pretty quickly, is that correct?
Yeah.
Or are there only 35 people in this, or who survived, or what?
There's actually 50, and I've actually been at the bottom of that heap for the past year or so, and then I bounced right back up.
So you're eating your way up from the bottom, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Literally and figuratively.
Okay, that's pretty good. Now, who was the most famous competitor in this? Badlands, you seem like a big shot in the field. Well, speak up. We need to hear from you. Who is the number one today in the eating world?
Number one is Joey George Chestnut. He's
Chestnut's number one.
Yeah, in MLE, yes.
Now, who is the Babe Ruth of competitive eating? Is there like a most famous guy involved in this? Anybody?
You have to give it up to Kobayashi. I mean, because you know, he pretty much when he came over in 850 at July 4th, 2001. It was pretty much unheard of. So, you know, you have to give up to Kobe. Even though he doesn't eat MLE no more, you know, he's pretty much, you know, he's a god in the sport. But, you know, Joey George Chestnut came and, you know, beat him in 2007, and he's been reigning supreme ever since.
So he's raised the bar.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, Joey Chestnut did what none of us could ever do.
Now, okay. Now, having Badlands here would beg the question, does size matter? I mean, what do you think? Well, Yasser, you're not a big guy. Well, does size matter in this field?
No, not quite. No, not at all, actually. I mean, take a look at, in essence, you have a football team that has linebackers and running backs and whatnot, so everybody plays, everybody has strengths, everybody has weaknesses, but you just have to play to your strengths.
It's not the size of the dog in the fight, so to speak. It's the size of the fight in the dog.
Exactly. You got
to
use
when it comes to eating 50 dogs, actually.
Definitely.
Exactly.
Okay. And guess, Tim, you too are not a large fellow, and you don't find that holds you back at all, competing with someone like Badlands here, who looks like he could eat you for lunch, so to speak.
You know, I mean, for the most part, I don't think it does matter. But I mean, certainly to the very extremes of the scale, it would matter. I mean, if you had a person who were 2 feet tall, he's probably not going to be able to eat 50 hot dogs. If you have a person who's 10 feet tall, he's probably going to be able to eat a lot, or has the potential to train himself to eat a lot. But, you know, in the scale of sort of normal size, in that range, I don't think it does matter. It comes down to sort of how hard you can push yourself, how much you're willing to tolerate. and then, you know, how good you are as well. But, you know, most of us, it hasn't seemed to matter. I mean, if you look at somebody who's 200 pounds versus somebody who's 150 pounds, probably the difference between those people, it comes down to muscle and body fat, and those things, they don't really make a difference. You know, 10 pounds of muscle on your arm, it's not going to make you a better eater. It's completely incidental to the eating. So it really just comes down to your stomach and your desire to push yourself.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to get into that, some of the pitfalls. If anyone ends up on the disabled list, all that kind of stuff. But first we're going to go to a commercial break, and we're also, when we come back, we're eventually going to do some eating. Because they are going to bring out the calamari and the clams, and we're going to see you guys discuss the ins and outs of what I just kind of take for granted. We'll be back.
Yo, this is Fat Al the Cannoli over here, and you are listening to the Chintani Broadcasting Network, high definition digital radio broadcasting to the world.
Hello, my name is Anthony Teresa, owner and producer of Blue Knight Recording Studio. Studio in beautiful Orange County, California, just outside Los Angeles. As a guitarist, vocalist, bassist, session player, producer, and engineer, I have either played or recorded on over 400 CD projects. Let me tell you, it's not easy to record your own music. My goal is to help you to be the best you can be behind the mic and in the tracking room. We'll get the best possible sounds from your voice and instruments. Do you need musicians? I've got them. The top session players in Southern California and Los Angeles. Let's make your recording project a reality. You can contact me by phone at 949-338-0293. That's 949-338-0293. Or contact me at email at catduo@earthlink.net. Looking forward to hearing from you. Take care and have a great week.
Frankie,
hey, John.
Where are we?
We're at Umberto's Clam House.
Umberto's.
132 Mulberry Street.
It's the place to be. What are you kidding?
Little Italy.
Hey, are we having fun? Is the food good?
Oh, my God. The gnocchi. The marinara. The mozzarella.
I ate three times tonight. So much.
Well, Chintani Broadcasting loves Umberto's at 132 Mulberry Street. In fact, that's why we broadcast from here. When you're in Little Italy, come down and watch a live broadcast. Or tune in, and anytime you're around, come and eat. Tutta mangiamo, si!
Tutta mangiamo, hey!
Umberto's Clam House.
Well, that was an appropriate food-related commercial that we kicked in with. Now, how big are the audiences for these events, by the way, guys? This is, like, obviously a sport. And Badlands, use that big Barry White instrument you have there and speak up.
Oh, yeah,
up.
Yeah. What's good, y'all? How y'all doing?
Yeah, that's good. I like it. We're going to make you a DJ, I think.
All right. That's what's up.
So how big are the audiences for these things?
Well, the audience can be, I'll say, a few hundred, maybe about 300 or 400 to up to about 50,000. Because there was 1 year that Nathan's usually averages 40 to 50,000 people.
Really?
Yeah.
40 to 50,000 people?
Yeah. That's insane. It's a big event. I mean, it's like it goes all the way from, you know, the stage at the corner of Surf and Stillwell that they built the night before, all the way back to the subway. You know, where everybody comes down and they have to close the street off in order to do the contest. So, you know, very big audience.
The Mets don't draw like that, and they have hot dogs too.
Well,
I guess it's different when they're $5, huh?
I guess so.
Are they $5? Well, I'm probably out of touch. They're probably $10. What is a hot dog at a baseball game? Yeah. Tim, are you a baseball fan?
Not
what do
really,
you pay
no.
for a dog?
No, but I went to a Yankees game last year, and I bought an ice cream on a stick and a beer, and it was like $12.
They got to pay those salaries.
And what about the beer?
The beer was probably like half of it. Yeah. It's just amazing. Okay.
Incredible.
Now, I want to hear what everyone's first competition was like, particularly Yasser, because he's new at this. I mean, do you have like butterflies in your stomach or what?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was my first contest. It was actually at Shea Stadium. Eater X was there. It was my first time that I'd met In fact, Badlands was there on stage doing the music intro. Crazy Legs was there watching Eater X. And I kind of knew from the start, I'd done my research, I was pretty sure that Eater X was going to win. But, you know, I gave him my all, and, you know, I went in, and I came out with 20 and a half. It was pretty nerve-wracking, but, you know, in the end, I kind of knew that I was going to do my best.
I heard on the circuit that you had knots in your stomach, but they were actually garlic knots.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how did you get the name Eater X? Is that like just try to scare out the competition, when or does that mean anything?
When I first started competitive eating, I was illiterate. I couldn't read or write my name.
You were illiterate, Jimmy.
Yeah, and so I would just sign an X on the...
Is this true? You just got to this country from, like, Pakistan or something?
It was a nickname that was given to me by George Shea, who's the chairman of Major League Eating. And, you know, when I came on board, I was always painting my face. That's what I do before contests. And I didn't have a nickname, and I wanted one really badly, but I didn't want to give myself one. I thought I should earn it. And so I just kind of waited patiently for somebody to think of one. And eventually the one that George Shea gave me and the one that stuck was Eater X. And I think it has something to do with both Speed Racer's older brother, Racer X, who had a big X across his face and was mysterious, and also the notion of, in commercials, Brand X, which is the brand that you don't talk about but that you compare to the brand that's really being pushed on people, and that also has an element of mystery to it. I think that's the reason, but I'm not really sure.
What was your first competition like?
My first one was St. Patrick, the day before St. Patrick's Day, 2004, Fry Rich Corned Beef and Cabbage, and it was in New York City, about 500 yards from my apartment. So Crazy Legs and Badlands were there. A lot of the old timers were there as well. Don Lerman, Cookie Jarvis, Charles Hardy. And I just went there, and you know, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't think there'd be any media there, but there were tons of media there. And I was just going to have fun, and you know, really didn't have any expectations of a career in this. But I had a great time. These guys were really nice to me that day, which I really didn't expect either. So I did okay that day, and I thought, man, I'd love to try it again. I'd love to see if I learned anything and I could be better the next time. And also I thought I'd have fun again just hanging out with people. So I signed up for more contests and just kind of kept going from there.
Is there an entry fee for these things?
No, I think they tried to charge us one time at one contest, and everybody balked.
No, they you have to pay your own way to get to the contest. You're paying your travel, your accommodations. You hope to win it back in prize money. Badlands and I came about in what we call the trophy era, where you just showed up for the title, the camaraderie of your eaters, the groupies, and the free food. And Tim Eater X Janis is really the last guy to cross over. He's being modest in terms of his performance in the early days, which I witnessed both at Belmont Racetrack as Badlands would go on to 30 hot dogs and buns, and Eater X would slam down. At that time, he was trying to eat all the dogs first, and he would eat 16 dogs and then be left with 16 buns. But one
time... Sounded like a great idea at the time. It was terrible.
The one time I really remember that cemented it in my mind was in Buffalo every year at the Duntire Park, which is a minor league baseball stadium. Drew Sears of the Wing King puts on an event, which is... Its basis is actually a Bill Murray film called Osmosis Jones, but... They have the Buffalo Wing Festival. Over 50 vendors of different wing sauces come out to this, and they do an eating championship. George Shea is on stage for 6 hours announcing it. Years ago, Hungry Charles Hardy and I were there, and we were getting a free room at the Holiday Inn, and we saw Eater X. We recognized him without his trademark face paint. We said, why don't you crash in our room? And he said, no, I'm staying at a youth hostel up the road, and I really want to pay my dues in the circuit. We said, we got a couch. You don't have to sleep with us. He said, no, no, I want to pay my dues. He came in fourth that year, tying Ed Cookie Jarvis. And I think from then on, people were like, whoever that kid with the face paint is, he's going to be a star.
Is Crazy Legs like the statistician of this sport? I was amazed when I first met him that he knew like everything. This is like a real sport to him. And he knew who did what, when, and how many like cannolis somebody ate in 1846. And...
He's like the beautiful mind of competitive eating. He's got it all upstairs, you know. But what's the supercomputer from Jeopardy? I don't know. He's like that thing.
Now, it's about Watson.
Watson, there you go, Watson.
Now, how do you guys usually feel the next day? Like, is there a price to pay for your competition or what?
Well, I mean, I'm sponsored by Worldwide Bidet, so I know that I like to find a comfortable restroom to aid the natural digestion
process.
Are we
talking out of one end or both?
Just one end. Our rules of the sport not only include keeping the food down during the contest, but you generally wade out into the crowd after major league eating. I think everyone is present to see Badlands Booker, the nicest guy in competitive eating, who will talk to any fan, who will sign anything, who will hand out his CDs. Not a lot of people know that he's a hip-hop food artist with no less than six albums, Hungry and Focused, 1 through 6. They all have other subtitles.
Do you sing Hungry Like the Wolf, by the way? Do you do that song?
Have you covered any, who's that, Duran Duran thing?
Yeah, well,
Taste of Honey, maybe?
I did a Duran Duran versus the Cars concert with the Losers Lounge at Fez one time, but that was the closest.
It's Taste of Honey, that's Herb Alpert, right?
Yes.
No. Oh, yeah, I love the Tijuana Brass, man.
Good
I'm a
man.
Huge fan.
Good man. So, yeah, you should do some food-related songs. I got to work with you and come
yeah.
up with a...
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, I...
Because I have a vampire who sings lounge music at my vampire-themed Valentine's Day party, and I have him do, like, Fly Me to the Moon and You Make Me Feel So Young.
Hey, that's what's up. I'll do the hip-hop version of that and come through.
Yeah, we got to get you some more food songs. I'm going to come up with a new song list for this guy.
All right.
You're going to be the biggest thing. You're already there.
I'm already there.
My job is done.
It's all good.
What do you weigh, by the way?
I'm 418.
418.
Yeah. I have an album out. It's called Big Man Mentality. You know, you can go to badlandsbooker.me and check it out. You know, check out all the videos. For the music videos, and you can check out I do like Crazy Chuck videos, like drinking purple stuff and. Eating cinnamon and stuff like that, and there are two videos that are coming up that Crazy Lace Conti directed. One is called Teddy Bear, and one is called Put Your Hands Up. That's coming soon. So,
Andy, that was an Andy Troy exclusive. That's the first time it's actually been mentioned anywhere in the world, other than between Badlands and I. So, the Andy Troy Show can take comfort in the fact that very soon, announced via social media, two new Badlands Booker albums will be out. But the one thing about his weight. 418 is every Saturday he weighs in with a guy named Ed Cookie Jarvis because they're on their way down. You got to have a lot of room for stomach expansion in competitive eating, and the days of the big man are over. You can have a big man mentality, which means having a big heart, loving the world, putting passion into everything you do, but you need to stay in really traditionally good shape to be on the major league eating circuit.
Now, Yasser, how did you feel the day after your first competition? Is it what you expected or no?
No, I hadn't eaten that much. It's kind of like I do marathon. I've run a couple marathons, and in marathon training, you never hit the 26-mile mark in your training. You always hit like 20 miles. And same thing with hot dog training. When I practice a couple times at home, I never hit that 20 hot dog mark on my first go. And so I didn't really know how it felt like to have 20 hot dogs in my stomach at the same time.
How did it feel?
It was it was torture.
Was
honestly
it?
The first time. It was just it's not like any feeling of fullness you've ever felt, and I hope you never feel it.
You know what I have a problem with? Sticky rice.
Yeah.
I've had a few sticky rice incidents where I go to like a Thai restaurant, and the stuff is great, and the food is spicy, and I eat all the sticky rice and drink the water, and I think the water absorbs the sticky rice, and it expands, and I end up on a couch, like one of those snakes that swallowed a cow.
I'll give you some advice here, Andy.
Yes.
If you're doing that, what you need to pair with your sticky rice and spicy Thai food is not the water, which will make the rice expand, but the beer liao, or the Singhai. That carbonation is going to cause some burping. I've been fortunate, as has Eater X, that we just got back from a CP Biggest Eater 2011-2012 tournament that ended with a finale and a grand finale in Bangkok. We were eating shrimp wontons, but in our spare time, we did a fair amount of casual dining. So anytime you're hitting the sticky rice too hard, just go with the beer next to it, and you'll be fine.
Yes. Okay, so I should be drinking beer with my sticky rice. Interesting. All right, I think we're actually going to have to go to a break again. I was signaled. When we get back, hopefully some food will show up for you guys, because I want to see professionals eating. We'll be back.
Listening to the Centanni Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital stereo.
Broadcasting
to the world.
Would you like to know what's going on in the Italian-American community and stay in touch, even if you don't live in Little Italy? There's a way to do it. There's a great newspaper out called GIA, the Giornale Italo-Americano. This newspaper is distributed nationally and comes out weekly, and you can subscribe by going to their website at www.giamondo.com, that's GIAMONDO.com, or call 718-592-2196. Check out GIA for all your information on what's happening in the Italian-American community. It's published in both Italian and English. It's a great way to read and follow up and practice your Italian as well. Check out GIA on the internet at www.giamondo.com. GIA newspaper, the Italian-American newspaper for today.
Hi, this is James C. Napadano on Centani Broadcasting. Please listen to the Jackpot Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you will hear comedy, music, and conversation for intelligent people only. Once again, it's the Jackpot Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Centani Broadcasting.
Conversation for intelligent people only. I hate when they speak a language I don't understand.
This new,
crazy life. We're back. Focus on the show.
Sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was focused to see if the food was coming. I was getting hungry.
Yes, we
want to
know
focused.
About that. But now, Yasser, you mentioned that you had some injuries from your marathon, like an ACL problem and stuff.
Well, actually, it was from basketball about 4 years ago.
Okay.
And I tore my ACL. But I came back from it and I ran the marathon a couple of years later.
Now, does anybody end up with injuries related to eating?
I think what Yasser's plate just illustrates how safe competitive eating is compared to more traditional sports, you know? This guy's been injured doing everything else but competitive eating, so.
Does anybody have any kind of eating problems, cholesterol going up, anything? No?
I don't think so.
You actually have to be in incredible shape, which seems odd. You have to watch every bite, chew, and swallow. You have to be healthful the year round. Just to be able to eat in your 25 to 30 events, appearances, or contests on the Major League Eating Circuit. I mean, right now, I know I'm heading into spring. On the board for me in April is the Rouse's Crawfish Eating Championship in New Orleans, is the Sweet Fiesta Corn on the Cob Championship at the South Florida Fairgrounds at Yesteryear Village. And then in June, I have the Acme Oyster World Oyster Eating Championship. Those three events alone, I mean, you're talking, last year I did 29 dozen New Orleans oysters in 8 minutes.
Dozen,
we count the dozens in oysters. I did about 3 pounds of Rouse's crawfish.
Wait, make room. We
and
have
speaking
food coming
of food,
out. Speaking
I see,
of seafood.
I see some Umberto's clams on the half shell. Cherry stones, very big and plump, beautiful in color, and then I see some calamari. And one thing people don't realize is we eat other things than hot dogs. And this food, and I've eaten at Umberto's both here and at Arthur Avenue, is wonderful. We've done a Pete's clam eating contest on Long Island, which cherry stones are very dense and chewy, almost like the bubble gum of competitive eating circuits. And at Mally's in Southgate, Michigan, we've had the World Calamari Eating Championship, not breaded though, just strips. So, Andy, I would let you sort of design what you want us to talk about, but I'm looking at this food pretty well.
Yes, me too. I haven't had dinner. Now, Eater X, have you eaten either of these things in competition?
I ate cherry stone clams in competition. I skipped out on the calamari contest. I'll tell you, I like seafood. I do not like eating hundreds of cherry stone clams, though.
How many? So you ate the clams. How many did you go through?
I don't remember. It wasn't as many as I wanted to go through. I didn't do as well as I would have liked. But it got after a while, it got really gross.
I believe you did 14 dozen. Am I wrong?
No,
was it a 16 dozen? 16
I
dozen.
I thought we were in the 20s.
Were you in the 20s?
No,
I might be wrong. I might be wrong. It was much more difficult than oysters.
They're chewier. Like an oyster is much. It's floppier. It slides down, conforms to your throat better than a cherry stone clam, which is meatier and chewier. So they were tougher, but man, it's after a while, it's gross. And I would say that about anything too. It doesn't matter how good a food starts off.
Yeah, the
after
50 while, hot dogs might could have the potential to be a little gross.
Yeah, I mean after 3 minutes, you don't really want to be eating what you're eating. So in some ways, that's good too, because you could start off with the worst food imaginable. But after 3 minutes, it's going to taste as good as the best food imaginable would after 3 minutes. So, at some point, it's just all irrelevant.
Okay, now Badlands, have you eaten either of these things in competition that are in front of you? Now, let's keep the mic wire out of the calamari.
Well, I haven't eaten calamari in competition, but I've eaten cherry stone clams on a half shell. I was also at the Pete's Clam Bar contest out in Long Island, and I ate 14 dozen. I mean, I too like oysters better because oysters are easier to eat than the clams. I mean, my best is 38 dozen in 10 minutes in the oysters, but the clams are a little tougher to eat, and I'm not a big clam guy, but, I believe you ate 19 or 20 dozen at that.
I don't know.
That
was so long ago.
Yeah.
I want to ask Yasser this. Yasser, how would you – you haven't eaten either of these foods in competition. So let's say this was an Umberto's – not a medley, but two separate contests where we have cherry stone clams. These are about 2.5 inches in diameter, very not very viscous, very dense and chewy. And we have some beautifully lightly breaded calamari on a plate, both the rings and the ends of the squid, which are the tentacles. So break it down for me how you would approach this. We just say 10 minutes for each on poundage.
So in terms of technique, yeah. I would probably, just looking at this for the first time, the clams come with these little forks. I'd probably pop it out of its, just kind of dislodge it and then just suck it up and then do it for the next one and the next one and the next one. Just suck it up. And they look small enough that they would probably go down with just a couple chews. And I'd probably try to conserve as much energy as I possibly could.
You know, in other sports, suck it up has a whole different kind of meaning, doesn't it?
Yeah, it basically means get back on the field.
If I could suggest one thing to Yasser, though, the answer actually would be there are three forks on this plate. You would take one fork, you would stab Crazy Legs, take another stab Batman, and another would stab me, and then you would just leisurely cruise to the title. Yeah.
But unless you stab this in the stomach, it wouldn't do you much good because all three of us would compete beyond the injury.
Right.
One thing you should know, Yasser, and this is just a comment, Sonya the Black Widow Thomas, the number one ranked female in the world, has developed a style called the economy of motion, where I've seen her eat, ready for this, she's eaten 46 dozen oysters in 8 minutes. So how does somebody physically do that? She does it because what you said was entirely right. It would probably be a utensil thing. You got to use the fork. You got to get the membrane separated from the clam. But if you're only eating one at a time, your hand is going up and down, it's getting tired. I would be willing to bet Sonya would be forking 4 to 5 of these at once, meaning this order of Umberto's clams in her world would disappear in about 6 seconds.
Wow.
That is impressive. Now, you mentioned that you prefer oysters to clams, which brings me kind of a segue into an interesting question. Well, oysters are important for sexual potency because of the zinc content. What's the groupie situation in this type of thing?
Well, I believe all four or three out of four of us at this table are spoken for. So largely we end up being wingmen to the single men and women on the circuit. It is true that New Orleans oysters, Louisiana, has natural Viagra. But what's also true in competitive eating is you eat so much of something that your stomach sticks out further than certain body parts. Nothing is an aphrodisiac.
Now, forget about whether you actually take advantage of these opportunities, but are there women hanging around who are into you because you're doing this? X-Man, tell us.
I every once in a while you meet somebody that stakes you out, almost not stalks you, but really knows who you are and is interested in you because they've seen you on television.
They look at you like lunch, basically.
Yeah, and they've come to the contest to meet you, and when that happens, that's a little weird. So I don't think anybody really wants to take advantage of that situation. You're much better off just if you happen to meet somebody, you cross your fingers and hope that they find what you do to be interesting. And most people do, at least in the beginning. But you don't really want a groupie who's just come and found you because she knows you're a competitive eater. It's a little weird.
So it's like you don't want to be a member of any club that will have you, basically. Like,
well, yeah, certainly I certainly have that issue going on inside my head, but it's not like, you know, it's not like we're members of like a hair band from the 80s where we have hundreds of girls and we can then choose only the ones that make our cut. You know, this is like you have one or two maybe that show up and really. There's no cut to be made at that point.
Andy, I like the Groucho Marx reference, but it's probably more about with great eating power comes great responsibility, and we're happy to be on the major league eating circuit because we believe a growth in the sport is happening in 2012. We believe that more sponsors will come on board and that overall it's not so much the prize money.
What about Hooters? That could be good for you.
We do chicken wings in many disciplines. We've done them in Dallas at Wingstop. We've done them in Buffalo at the Wing Festival. Hooters, I mean, there's an unnamed eater who's dated three Hooters girls in the 2011 calendar year alone. So Hooters seems like a natural fit. But honestly, most corporations are starting to see the value of using competitive eating when it costs exorbitant sums to take out a half-page ad in the New York Times versus putting on an eating event through MajorLeagueEating.com, and the amount of reaction you get, both media-wise and simply year-round in perpetuity. I can't imagine why major fast food chains and other large places that have multiple locations aren't doing more with Major League Eating. And so I'd encourage any listeners of the Andy Troy Show to reach out to the establishments they like to bring the men and women. Because don't forget, the pink Pepto belt might be hoisted this year at Coney Island. And there are beautiful, thin women who can eat more than the four guys at this table.
The pink Pepto belt may be hoisted. So what does this belt signify? It's not, obviously not just for winning that contest.
Oh, it is just for winning that contest.
Well, then it will be hoisted, won't it?
Well,
isn't that a guarantee?
I know
someone will win.
Well, only if Pepto comes back on sport as a sponsor. At this point, we don't know. I mean, I think, and I wasn't present at the 2011 Nathan's. I ate 9 out of 10 years consecutively, and I don't want to cry into my calamari, but the long and short of it is I didn't eat enough hot dogs to qualify, and I will do everything in my power this year to be there because Badlands Booker, who's got the most longevity on the circuit, the moment that I see him on July 4th, he's generally out there rapping. There's a tear in my eye. There's a warm feeling in my heart. That's when I know that my stomach is ready to enjoy the most of July 4th. And then afterwards, I wait for Eater X after he rides the Cyclone a couple times, and I meet him at Ruby's.
I don't want him riding the Cyclone over me after eating 50 hot dogs, by the way.
He's done 34 and ridden the Cyclone 4 times.
No incidents?
I sat at Ruby's and drank Fernet Branca.
I haven't tried the last few years. I've become a little scared of it.
I can understand that. Yeah. Now, would you say if Pepto doesn't get involved, that would be abysmal?
That would be, but I'm sure that, you know, Alka-Seltzer maybe would come back in the fold, or Axia 3 might be revived. A lot of people don't remember Axia 3. I tend to, on contests that I truly enjoy, because alcohol is not allowed on the circuit, I use a mix of Rainwater and Axia 3. I have a storage of leftover Axia 3.
Rainwater, and what is this?
Well, if I could add grain alcohol to that, I would. But beverages are incredibly important in competitive eating. We have some contests that are debris foods. Wings, ribs, clams with a shell is a debris food, oysters. We have others that are on poundage, meaning, you know, in Louisiana, they do grits. The Isle of Capri Casinos does a lot of foods like cupcakes, catfish, peanut butter and banana sandwiches on Elvis's birthday.
Oh, really?
All of those.
Is there a competition for that, for peanut butter and banana
Absolutely.
Sandwiches?
Absolutely. Elvis's birthday, January 7th,
does
January
anyone,
18th.
Has anyone ever eaten two?
All of us, Yasser, have you ever eaten in that contest yet?
No, not yet.
The three other guys have eaten in that contest, ranging from 19 peanut butter and banana sandwiches to Badlands. How many have you eaten?
My best is 24.
Mr. X, how many peanut butter and banana sandwiches have you eaten?
I don't remember anymore. It was a couple years ago.
That's frightening.
Yeah. Elvis was at the
contest,
though.
I used to remember stuff, too. I don't know what's going on.
Has Fear Factor ever engaged you guys in any kind of bug-eating contest?
I would love to be on Fear Factor. I've eaten bugs.
Have you? Really?
And I just believe in Fear Factor. I would stink at the heights of things because I'm scared of heights a little bit. But I think in the eating thing, you see things where they're drinking like a liter of gross
bull urine.
Yeah,
or something.
But you know what? And I think two things work against anybody in that scenario. One is that bull urine.
One is that they're drinking bull
disgusting,
urine. Yeah.
Yeah. But two is that a lot of people can't drink 32 ounces of something very quickly. But you give me bull urine, you can give me a couple gallons of it, man, and I'll drink that thing in seconds. So
you're
I think,
a frightening
so
person.
So I think I could win on Fear Factor. I think I could certainly be a part of a winning team.
How full would your bladder be after a couple gallons of bull urine?
I don't know. I'm willing to try, though, because for $50,000.
And they have actually had $100,000 in a recent one in a team effort.
Okay.
So, you know, okay. And they did have one where someone was drinking a whole thing of semen, actually.
Oh, but they wouldn't show it on TV, though. Yeah,
I'm very disappointed. Yeah. I wanted to see women drinking
that. After you do that, you fail all steroids tests for a couple of years.
Really? All right. Well, we're actually going to have to go to a break again. When we come back, we're going to continue eating and talking and drinking. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Anthony LoPasso. Join me every Monday night on the new AC Low Show at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Centani Broadcasting Network, high-definition digital radio broadcasting to the world.
If you love jazz, check out These Things We Dig, new CD by jazz sax, flute, and clarinet recording artist James Aldean on Sexton Records. James Aldean has recorded 7 CDs for Sexton Records and appears regularly in the New York metropolitan area, including the great venue, the Whiskey Cafe. These Things We Dig features some of the best jazz and bebop styles, with James fronting the band, complemented by such great players as Mike Fonella, Phil Jones, Bob De Benedette, Ron Naspo, and Wayne Dunton. You can get this new CD from Sexton Records by going to www.sexton.com. That's C-E-X-T-O-N.com. You can find out more about James Aldean at www.jldeanorchestra.com. For the best in jazz, it's Sexton Records, the audiophile jazz record label. Sexton.com.
Hi, this is Robbie Russell from the Garage Mania Show.
This is Nurse Cheryl.
Listen to Garage Mania Radio on the
Centani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital audio. Broadcasting to the world.
During the break, I ate a clam in front of the guys. It was very exciting. It's kind of like working out with Hulk Hogan or something. Good. But now I'm doing something closer to my heart, drinking. The wine here at Umberto's is very good. Thank you. Okay, I wanted to ask you guys, because I'm doing some research for this show. I ran across an interesting character. I want to see if you guys know anything about this guy. Furious Pete, who was hospitalized for anorexia and is now a competitive eater. Do you guys know anything about him?
He's not in Major League Eating, so we generally follow the guys and women who are in the 50 ranked Major League Eaters.
He's like a minor leaguer, like AAA.
Now, I would say in this year's circuit upcoming, the thing that impresses me the most is that the women's division, of which prior there was never a Title IX, there was no separation of gender, there's been a little bit of a separation, and I think the two females who I'm looking for big things in the spring are Larie Morrell, who's known as the Real Meal, although it could be the Real Deal. The Real Deal. Help me out, Patrick.
No, the Real Meal is better.
It's
like
Laurel
that.
Marie, the Real Deal.
Thank you. See? And Marie Edible, both ranked on the circuit, currently moving up, but they have to try to best Sonya the Black Widow Thomas. And she is, I am 0-9 against her. That's not 0-9 contest, that's 0-9 years. So
that is not 9 attempts to pick her up, is it?
No, I wouldn't pick her up, because should we date, the dinner date alone would be cost prohibitive. There's just not enough food on the table for two of us to share even like a salad. It would just be like, give us the Chateaubriand for 9 for us two.
Okay. So what do you guys have coming up? I want to get that worked in before we run out of time, because it's such a fascinating group of folks. Like, what competitions are coming up for you four? Let's get the Badlands.
Well, this weekend I have the 2J's the 2J's competition down in West Palm Beach. It's corned beef on rye, and we're doing it for St. Patrick's Day. And after that, I'll be doing cupcakes. And, you know, it's another Al Capri deal. But
they're kind of chewy. What's the difficulty with cupcakes? Is there any special way to approach that?
Well, this will be my first, competition with the cupcakes. So it'll be a learning experience for me, pretty much.
Eater X, you eat anything chewy in competition?
Anything chewy? Well, I have very fragile teeth, so I try to stay away from things that are too chewy and too crunchy.
Okay, with fragile teeth, is a highly ranked competitive eater. This is
amazing. I know,
amazing.
It's a real curse. I made some mistakes.
Is that like Rocky
when
he had a detached retina or something?
Oh, it's like Marlon Starling was. I went from Connecticut. He was a boxing champion from Hartford. And, actually, no, I'm thinking of Sugar Ray Leonard. He had the detached retina, didn't he? Sugar Ray, right? But I have fragile teeth. I've screwed up my teeth and. I made some dumb mistakes when I was younger. I chipped my teeth many times. So there's a lot of bonding work, and I'm scared of breaking my teeth on things. Every time I do the pork rind contest or the cannoli contest, I'm very careful, and I can't really eat as aggressively as I'd like to. So I just stay away from those contests because a dental bill is often bigger than a prize.
Did you break your teeth doing anything crazy? Because I see that potential with you.
Yeah.
You look like such a regular guy, but I see you doing crazy stuff.
I'll tell you the dumbest thing I ever did. And it was I was in college, and I used to like to go to basketball games, and I like to heckle a lot. And we used to get drunk, of course. And one time we had played a tough game. I went to SMU in Dallas. I did not like it there. We were playing TCU, and they were ranked in the top 25 at the time. And they beat us in a very close game. And as I was walking home to my apartment with my friends, some TCU fans pulled up alongside us and started, yelling at us, but probably just to have a good time with us. And I was joking around, but I started chasing their car. And I was really drunk, and I chased their car for a half a block or so, and then I tripped on something, and because I was so drunk, I couldn't get my hands out in time to break my fall, and I fell on my face, and I chipped like 5 or 6 teeth really badly, and I had those bonded and fixed. But now, if I do a contest and I have to use my front teeth to chew things, especially crunchy things like pork rinds, I'm scared to death I'm going to chip those teeth again. So I stay away from certain foods.
Well, what do you have coming up next? So we already heard from Badlands.
I have cupcakes as well. And then I have a catfish contest at the Isle Casino in Davenport, Iowa. That's in 2 weeks. It's the 24th, I think. But honestly, this is kind of strange information. I recently pulled a rib, I think, while stretching. And so it hurts to eat anything more than like 2 or 3 sandwiches at one time. And so there's a small chance that if it doesn't heal in time, that I'll pull out of this catfish contest.
I actually have a little bit of a rib area problem that I got from sneezing a week or so ago. So I may have to pull out of that competition as well.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Okay. So, Yasser, what do you plan on eating in the near future?
I'm doing corn on the cob, sweet corn, that is, in Florida. And I'm hoping to get into cheesesteaks on May 19th, I believe, in Pennsylvania.
Now, there's no entry fee. What would stop someone like me who likes cheesecake from going down having 2 slices and heading home?
Well, cheesesteaks, yes. But the thing about it, and why I encourage all fans to go to MajorLeagueEating.com, is it's like concert tickets these days. You hear about these shows. Personally, I like the Tubes. Fortunately, the Tubes don't sell out in a minute. But anybody of these other popular artists, they sell out big venues in a moment. The same is true of Major League Eating. There's probably about 300 people worldwide trying to get into events. However, if you are a local and you've never eaten before, my recommendation is not only to sign up for a contest, but email a guy named Mike Antolini at Major League Eating and let him know that the circuit is coming to your hometown and you'd like to represent. Because generally, of the 14 to 18 ranked pros at the table, there's always 2 spots for amateurs. So Yasser's hoping to get into the Subway cheesesteak eating contest at Dorney Park. There are going to be, of the top 20 eaters, I'm guessing about 16 of them there. Many of these men and women are family members. They all bring their kids out to that one, 3 or 4 kids. We get into the park, we eat a whole bunch of cheesesteaks, and then we hit the water slide. And if you've ever seen guys like Steak Belly or Wing Kong, now dubbed the Candyman, with their kids at the water slide after eating a combined 30 cheesesteaks, well, It's just one of the greatest sights in the world.
I should have you hook me up as, like, you know, an amateur. Like, I'd eat a couple of clams or something.
Well, you know, we haven't done your neighborhood in a while. The last time we did Deep Brooklyn was actually for an event called, we did the five-spot cheesesteak championship 1 year, but we also used to do one-on-one matches. And that was the last time cheesecake was eaten on the circuit. Signed to the Black Widow Thomas, 100 pounds, did... Badlands, help me out, because you were there. How many slices did Sonya eat? I know you've eaten a lot.
I believe she... It wasn't like slices. It was more like a whole cheesecake. So I think she ate like four. I ate 3.5.
Four entire cheesecakes.
Right, so Badlands horrifying. And Sonya count in terms of entire cheesecakes.
Yeah. Cheesecakes. Okay, before we go, because we're going to be leaving soon, I want everyone's contact info if they choose to give it. Crazy Legs, we know you've got stuff going on. How do people get a hold of you?
I have no cell phone. I use a typewriter, but there's one online destination, which is crazylegsconti.com. I answer all the emails. But please, you know, check out majorleagueeating.com and check us out when we come to your town.
Badlands, where can we get a hold of you?
You want to get a hold of the Badlands, you just go to badlandsbooker.me or just put Badlands Booker in your Google search. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, everything, LinkedIn, you name it, I'm on it. But
how come you haven't sent me a friend request there?
Oh,
I'm
well,
devastated.
Oh, no. Hey, I'll do it right now from the phone. It's all good.
Good man. Okay, X-Man. Bring those chip teeth up to the microphone and tell us what's going on.
I don't want to chip them on the microphone if I get too close. I got to be careful here. So I just started tweeting. I don't do any other social networking, though. But my Twitter handle is twitter.com/eaterx. So if you tweet me, is that how it works? Then I'll get your message.
Okay. And Yasser, you seem like you're hip. You know what's going on. Tell us what's happening.
Yep, find me on Facebook, Yasser Salem, or find me on Twitter as well.
By the way, before we go, I just want to say someone texted in, Crazy Legs has a great voice. So there may be more groupies in your future. Who knows?
I want to know if Yasser is waiting for a nickname or if one will be given to him.
We could all vote before the end of the show.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of in the same boat as Eater X was a few years ago, where I'm
Chewbacca.
I
think you've got would be a shot for you.
I'm hip to that.
Okay, that's off the top.
Your next contest is corn, right?
That's right.
That's with George Shea. I'm gonna just whisper in George's ear that you need a nickname in the South Florida Fairgrounds, and when we leave Yesteryear Village, which we will for the after party, I want to know what your competitive eating nickname is.
You got it.
Okay, this was actually an outstanding show, I think, eating-wise. And we will be back next week with a great show on New York nightlife. So if you guys want to know what to do in New York City other than just come to my parties, tune in. But we will leave with a hit single from my 80s band, The Shades. But for now, we are gone.
When it comes to providing guide dogs for people who are blind or visually impaired, one national organization is taking the lead. The Guide Dog Foundation breeds and trains Labradors and Golden Retrievers to help blind and visually impaired people increase their mobility and independence. The foundation provides transportation to its New York campus, the guide dog, a comprehensive training program, and a lifetime of aftercare services, all free of charge. The benefits to training with a guide dog at the Guide Dog Foundation in Smithtown, New York are many. Among them are small class sizes for personalized attention, a long history of excellence in dog breeding, and a highly skilled professional training staff. The foundation offers a comfortable environment and diverse training areas from country walks to city subways. If you or someone you know could benefit from the foundation's free services, call 800-548-4337.
You are listening to the Centani Broadcasting Network, CENTANNI Broadcasting.com, in high definition digital stereo.